April 25th, 2024, Chol HaMoed Pesach. Let's take a look, beginning in Gemara Masechet Bava Kaman Daf Yod Zayin Amud Bet, at a sugya that we already learned. And the plan here is to go through some sources that we've already discussed and addressed and ask some questions. That's really what I'd like to do this morning. And then tomorrow try to advance or set forth and propose a direction which will have major ramifications, I believe, in many ways. So the Gemara here, seven lines from the bottom on Daf Yod Zayin Amud Bet, cites the question of Rava. Four or five words before the end of the line, the Gemara says, Ba'e Rava, daresa al keli velo shibarto. If an animal stomped on a utensil, but it doesn't break it in that initial stomping, v'nitgalgel l'makom acher, and then the utensil rolls to another place, v'nishbar, and it breaks in that place. Mahu, what's the halakha in such a circumstance? Batar me'ikara azlinan vigufehu, o dilma batar tavar mana azlina usrorotin. The question is, do we determine the time of the nezek, the time of the damage, based on the initial act? And the initial act, we'll say that it's the animal's body which caused that. That's called regel. We're all familiar with that. Or do we alternatively say, batar tavar mana azlina? We go based on the moment where the item broke. Now, the initial act was regel. Once it already rolled and broke afterwards, that's something we'd have to dust off our memory a little bit. That's what we call sirorot. That's indirect. That's a major question over here Rava has. Rava wants to know, do you have a full liability in such a circumstance or just half? Or posek like hachamim against sumchus when it comes to sirorot, that sirorot is hatsinezek. As a result, the question over here is, when the animal stomped on that utensil, the utensil rolls and breaks only afterwards, do we imagine it and understand it as the nezek, the damage took place in the initial stage or in the final stage? Again, if in the initial stage, regel. If in the final stage, serorot, it'll only be half, says the Gemara, tifshot le midraba. Why don't we answer the question of Rava from the clear and explicit statement of Rava? De amar Rava zarak keli mirosh hagag uba acher v'shibero b'makel patur. De amrinan le mana tevira tavar. The Gemara cites the famous statement of Rabba. If a person threw a utensil from Rosh Hagag, from the top of the roof, there's another person waiting eagerly at the bottom with a baseball bat to break it. Indeed, he does break it. Who's liable? The person who throws it off is the liable one. The one who broke it at the bottom has no liability. Why not? Because he says to the person who threw it, Manativiratavar, I broke an already broken utensil, which means to say quite clearly based on this, it's the initial act, it's the initial stage of nezek, which is determined as the nezek, not the moment where it actually breaks. As a result, Rava, what were you questioning? What's the issue? Rava already gave you the answer, says the Gemara. They're both Emoraim. Rabba may have had the answer. Rava wasn't certain about it. Le Rabba peshita le, le Rava mi ba'ayale. Whereas Rabba, in that bold and simple statement of throwing it off, it's manati vira tavar, it's already broken. Peshita le, he knew that we go based on me'ikara, based on the initial stage. Whereas according to Rava, there was a safek. That's what the Gemara set forth for us over here. And the Gemara goes on to discuss it. But that statement of Rabba, you might recall, we talked about Rif in this context. We also importantly learned this Tosafot. The bottom Tosafot on Daf Yod Zayin Amud Bet writes the following, again, well-known statement. It says, Nira, it would appear, Di'im zarak evin, or hetz al hakeli, uba acher, v'kidem v'shibero. Now Tosafot is beginning to distinguish between two cases. Our case in the Gemara of Rabba, let's review it one more time, is where the person threw the utensil off of the roof and there's another one waiting to break it at the bottom. The one who throws it off is clearly the one who's liable. So as Tosafot, let's redo this case. This utensil wasn't thrown off, but I shoot an arrow at it. I shoot an arrow at, or I throw a rock at this utensil, which means my hands never touched it. the item is not already quote-unquote broken per se, but it's on its way to being broken. Nothing's really going to change that. And now, while my arrow's in the air, while my rock is in the air, says Tosafot, Niradim zarak even ohetz al hakeli uba'aher v'kidem v'shebero. Someone runs in front of it and breaks the utensil. Dipshita dehayav. In such a circumstance, it's simple. It's apparent and no question that with regards to the person who ran in front of it and broke it with the baseball bat or whatever they did in this circumstance, they'd be hayav, they'd be liable. Ve'lo sheyach kan, and you wouldn't say over here the logic, the statement of Rabbah in our Gemara, quote, mana tevira tabar. You wouldn't have such a claim. Di'i azlina name hacha batar me'ikara, La mishkachat serorot hatzinezek usfara peshutahi lehalek ben zorek even lezorek keli atzmo. There's been much ink and many quills broken and spilled with regards to explaining this Tosafot, but the principle is clear, and we're going to, in the subsequent minutes of this class, support this claim of Tosafot, at the very least from evidence, from Re'ayot and Gemarot, that Tosafot is distinguishing between if the item was handled directly in such a circumstance. We go back to the words of Rabbah, we say, mana tivira tabar, if I actually touched it, I broke it, so to speak, in the initial stage, as opposed to if I sent an arrow after it, as opposed to if I set in motion the fact that it's going to break, we don't say in such a circumstance, we go batar me'ikara.
Tosafot's explanation of, I guess it's Rabbah, is not in line with Rava
has a safek in our Gemara. Yeah. Rava says this famous statement of mana tivira tavar. We're posek, like this statement of Rava. You know, look at the Gemara, you see the little yod next to tifshot. That brings you, of course, the en mishpat ne mitzvah. That's how we're posek lahalacha. We go like Rava. So you're right, Rava has a safek in our Gemara.
But to tell him to go ask, why don't you hold according to Rava?
And so the Gemara says, and Rava was uncertain about this. But
the case is different.
Yeah, why?
The case is very different. And in the case of Rava, the keli was not necessarily going to break. Who knows?
Well,
it's the same as Tosafot's case.
Well, it's not because it's certain or uncertain. No, I understand what you're saying, but it's not about certain or uncertain. In Tosafot, it's not because you're not certain. Oh, listen, I shot a bullet at that utensil. It was certainly going to break. In all these cases, it's certainly going to break. It's just a question of whether I actually touched it to break it or not, whether I sent something after it, or whether I was holding it and directly, so to speak, setting it in motion. Well, Rabbah says that the first guy picked up the utensil and dropped it. That Tosafot says is different than if the first person shoots a gun at it, shoots a bullet at it.
The initial act has to be the damaging act.
Yes, now it's going to be the damaging act irrespective, and actually not going to work out that way because someone else is going to break it before him. But Tosafot distinguishes. Tosafot says that there's a difference between if my hands touched it, if I directly pushed it, if my animal stomped on it, so to speak, in the Gemara with Rava's case, or if I just set it into motion with a hetz, with an even of something of and some of
that. With the person's hand touching the actual item versus the item itself.
Either way, it was going to break.
Yes, Tosafot for some reason, and they say it's a svara peshuta lehalek. Tosafot claims even though when I shoot at something, we say the hetz is a direct extension of me. Says Tosafot, we wouldn't say mana tevira tava.
I was thinking that when a person throws a keli off a roof, the keli already is in motion, considered broken, versus it's still, irrespective of whether or not the hand actually touched it.
Okay, what's another way? Judah.
What Judah is saying is he's saying
when I. Forget about whether my hand touched it. Yeah, you're right. It's confusing when I say my hand touched it. But Drew's saying, let's say, better, you're right. Hand touching it is not clear enough. Because let's say I shot a rubber bullet at it. And as a result, it knocked off the roof. It's saying, by extension, it's the exact same thing. And there's a distinction between whether the item is in motion of death already, of being broken, as opposed to I have something which is going to set it into death or into its demise and breaking. That's right. In other words, the way I said it was that your hand touched it and as a result it's broken, as opposed to Judah saying it much more clearly. The idea is, the distinction is as follows, is the item already broken because the item has been handled in a fashion that it's broken? Or is there something just about to effectuate that breaking of the item? That's the distinction of Tosafot. And as a result, Tosafot says, whereas Rabba's case, again, whether my hand touched it or I pushed something that's going to, but the point is the item itself is already on its way to death in the item's breaking itself, so to speak, way, as opposed to something coming to break it. That's how Tosafot distinguishes. This runs in direct contrast, it appears, to the words of other Rishonim. For example, we learned together in a different context, and we touched on this point very briefly at the time, Nimukei Yosef. Nimukei Yosef is on the Sugya later on. The Sugya later on, Daf Kaf Aleph, presents for us a Mahloket between Rabbi Yohanan and Resh Lakish. If you recall, the Mahloket was about Esh. What's the liability? What's the Hayuv of Esh? Is Isho Mishum Mamono or Isho Mishum Hitzav? Remember this? When a person lights a fire and the fire in turn damages something, do we imagine that the damage of the fire is like, so to speak, Adam HaMazik? It's like Hitzav. It's like the arrow which I shot. Or is it on the other hand, Resh Lakish claims it's Mishum Mamono, it's like my animal. My fire is like my animal. The Gemara had presented Nafkamina, and then the Gemara in the end said that even Resh Lakish agrees, Yishom Mishum Hitzav, he just believes it's also Mishum Mamono. You have all the Humrot of Yishom Mishum Mamono. For our purposes, what's significant is we'll posek lahalacha that Yishom Mishum Hitzav, which means to say if a person lights a fire, it's as if they themselves are causing the damage. Said differently, in the Lashon of the Gemara, it's as if they shot an arrow, which is a direct extension of them. Ooh, that should already get us thinking. That's similar to the case of Tosafot. If we find something along the lines of Tosafot in this sugya, that'll be interesting, because Tosafot told us that if a person shot the arrow, which hasn't yet touched the item, that's the right way to say it, it's not about me, but the item has not yet been touched, in such a circumstance, we say the item is not yet broken. We don't say manativira tavar. The item is already broken, right? That, Tosafot said, was only when I actually touched the utensil. Over here, where I shot at it, where there's something set into motion, it's on its way to get it, I should distinguish, I should say, it's not already broken. Nimukei Yosef, if you recalled, in an interesting way, addressed an issue with seemingly nothing to do with this, but you'll see it has major ramifications. In the last of the narrow lines here on the left-hand side, this is in the Daf Yod Amud Aleph in Daf Pei Harif, just so you can find it in the back of the Gemara if you want. But anyway, here it's in Daf Yod Amud Aleph, in the last of the narrow lines where it says, Isho Mishum Hitzav, writes Nimukei Yosef, one of the great Spanish Rishonim on the Gemara, says, Ki ilu biyadav hiv'iro k'de amaran. What does it mean, Isho Mishum Hitzav? It's as if with your hands you burnt it. In other words, it's not indirect, it's direct. It is you, it's not your property, it's you yourself. V'ikashyala, says Nimukei Yosef, and if you'll have the following question, it's a well-known question. As a matter of fact, it has a major history to it because the Karaites historically opposed the traditional way of lighting candles on the Eid of Shabbat. They believed you can't use any candle lit, anything on Shabbat. And their claim was, the Torah says, "Lo teva'aru esh v'chol moshevotechem b'yom ha-shabbat in Shemot perek lamedhe." And as a result, they said, how are you using these candles? We specifically, to negate their approach, lit candles on Erev Shabbat to show we can and we will use it because we don't imagine this as b'yom ha-shabbat, on Shabbat itself. Says Nimukei Yosef, oh, wait a second, I got what we're doing, but what about their claim? And you can look at Ibn Ezra there in Shemot Lamed Med Pasuk Gimel. This was a debate. This was a Rabbeinu Sa'ad Yagon had to deal with this. There are many who make the claim. Harambam is really contending with this when he writes about in Hilchot Shabbat. But here's the question: V'ikashya lach imken hechisha rinan im hashecha lehadlik etanerot v'hadlakata holechet v'nigmeret b'Shabbat. Says Nimukei Yosef, says, well, one second, we light candles before Shabbat. By lighting the candles before Shabbat, we're effectively setting into motion that on Shabbat, that arrow, my hand, is continuously burning. You're not allowed to do that on Shabbat. It's one thing if I cut it off and I say, oh, Yishom, Yishom, Mamono, okay, my animal, it's separate from me. We're saying it's not separate from me. It's a direct extension of me. That's the question of Nimukei Yosef. He continues with the question to make it a little bit stronger or to fill it out. But if you take a look at his answer, which is most important for us over here, you skip down just one or two lines over here. It says... says Nimukei Yosef, four lines into the wide lines, ki ne'ayen b'milta shapir, when we look into this matter well, lakash yalan, there's no difficulty. Shehare chiyuvo mishum chitzav kezorek ha'chetz, shebesha'a shi'asa ha'chetz mitachat yado, be'ota sha'a na'asa hakol, ve'lo hashvinan le'ma'aseh demikan ulahaba. Says Nimukei Yosef, the way it works is the second the arrow is sent out of your hand, the second this fire is set forth, the action is done. The setting into motion ended. Once it's set into motion, your own personal action is finished. Which means what? Well, which means for our purposes, in terms of Shabbat, my lighting is done. It's true, it's continuously going, but with regards to my actions, my direct action was done in that moment. We'll continue reading the words of Nimukei Yosef, but we'll already think about whether that squares with our Tosafot. It very clearly does not. Our Tosafot told us that we need to distinguish. When a person shoots the arrow at the item, so I say the arrow which is extending to the item, I don't say it's immediately done. The act is not finished. We said that only when you took the item and you threw it off the roof. We said over there, manat tivira tavar. Over here in a situation where you shot the arrow, I don't say the act of damage is done immediately. I say the act of damage is done only the moment it touches. Now you might distinguish, you say it's different. How's it different? Our situation of Tosafot is talking about where directly addressing damage. Nimukei Yosef, although he's extending it, we could discuss that, he's extending it to the laws of Shabbat as well, which is very interesting and debated by later poskim, but he is very clearly setting forth principles with regards to how damage works. He says, my ma'aseh, my action is determined by my initial state. I set forth this fire, I set forth this arrow. He says, the ma'aseh is done. La hashvinan le ma'aseh demikan ulahaba. It's not considered an action here and out. Di'i hashvilan le, if I were to imagine it as a continuous action, of course you'd be mehalel Shabbat, but furthermore, havalan le miftere de anusu she'en biyado la hazira. Says Nimukei Yosef, you should be patur from the extended damage because we'll say you're onus. It's an interesting claim that he makes. He says, with regards to Ish, once I sent forth the Ish, which is Hitzav, I finished my action. You should say, if it's continued action of my own, I'm onus because I can't bring it back. Instead, I say, my action's done, and anything that happens thereafter, I'm liable for. V'hachen ameh, he says, furthermore, ilumet kodem shispik lehadlika gadish. What would happen? You might recall, I mentioned this at the time. I set the fire, and then, someone sets the fire, and then immediately passes away. He dies. He has a heart attack. He can't believe he was so excited to finally ruin this person's property. He did it. Has such excitement, he drops dead. What's the halakha with regards to his family? Do they need to pay for what happened afterwards? Well, you say, maybe not. The only damage which happened was afterwards. I set forth the fire. It started burning. And then the person passes away. Are they liable? Says Nimukei Yosef. Absolutely. Vaday mishtalem nizak me'acharayut nechasim didedi. The estate, his family members are going to have to pay for it. Why are they going to have to pay for it? Because his action was done before his death. Deha kare kan, because we would describe this, ki tese esh, shalem yeshalem. V'amai mehayev hare met, umet lav bar hayuvaho, el alav, shemamina de lav keman da adlik hashta biyadayim hashvinan le, ela keman da adlik me'ikara. He even uses the lashon of our Gemara and Daf Yod Zayin. He says it's the initial action, misha'at pishia, from the moment of, so to speak, negligence or going against the law, hashvinan le, v'chen hadin le'inyan Shabbat. So too when it comes to Shabbat, deki athil me'erev Shabbat, athil, the initial action was on Erev Shabbat, ukeman de'agmereh be'adayim, and it's done with your hands, be'ahu idna, at that time, delet be'isur hashiv, and as a result, it won't be considered an isur afterwards.
It's not yama, basically, then.
Yes.
That's what he's saying in short.
Again, this Nimukei Yosef, when it comes to Shabbat, that's why we always need to pay attention to these words of Nimukei Yosef in all circumstances of indirect actions on Shabbat, things that are put into motion. But what I'm pointing out for our purposes in this class, leaving Shabbat out for a moment or ten, the Nimukei Yosef is directly negating the Svara of Tosafot. Whereas Tosafot's claim, I mean, again, Kesot HaHoshin points this out, he points out Rosh, another Rosh that we learned together as well. Seemingly there's a matter of dispute on that. Nimukei Yosef, I don't know that anyone debates it. He's disagreeing with Tosafot directly. Tosafot's claim is, I should distinguish between when the action was done already because the utensil was effectuated, when the utensil was thrown off the roof, as opposed to the words of Tosafot were heads. That's really what we're talking about. It was an arrow which was shot at it. Says Nimukei Yosef, we go based on the initial action. The action was done, and therefore, for argument's sake, theoretically, if you were to ask Nimukei Yosef the question of Tosafot, it seems clear his answer would be, if a person shot an arrow, another person comes ahead to the utensil which the arrow was going at and breaks it, what would the halakha be? The person who broke it would be patur. Not like Tosafot. Tosafot told us we should distinguish. That's the claim of Nimukei Yosef. That's the mahlok between Tosafot and Nimukei Yosef. There are many, many gemarot.
Nimukei Yosef is saying, though, that it's honest once the fire leaves your hand.
He
once
says
it should be honest. So once the arrow leaves your hand, you can't retract it. And so
he says fire should always be honest.
But then the guy who broke the keli after you shot the arrow, so if you could retract it...
Since you can't retract it, and we're still not considering it honest, says Nimukei Yosef, the way it works is my action was done. As a result, there's no onus any longer. My action was done. We don't say, oh, but in the extended moment of your action, it was out of control. Okay, but in the moment of my action, which is the Maaseh HaNezek, there was no onus. In the moment of my action, I was alive still. I passed away afterwards. There's no mikanu lahabah hiyuvim. It's all a retroactive to the initial moment. Whereas Tosafot would say, no, whatever happened later on, it's in that moment that you're liable for it. There are many gemarot which seem to negate this approach of Nimukei Yosef. One which we learned, we won't address this moment, Mishnah later on, we saw it on Daf Kaf Bet. I'm going to go backwards just for purposes of engagement. So if you go to the very last page for a moment, this don't get too excited about it, but it's one of the questions that they sometimes ask on this. Don't get too excited because we're not dealing with Nezik and we're dealing with Agada, but then we'll get into actual Sugyot, two other Sugyot in Talmud. Here, this is the Gemara Masechet Ta'anit at the end, and the Gemara is talking about the time that the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Of course, we say Chabeav, but the Gemara has the Derashah from Pesukim that it didn't really work that way, and they have a Masoret on how it really worked. We're in the medium lines, 2, 4, 6, 8... 9 lines down, where the second word on the line is ha. The first word is bishiva. Do you see that? Bishiva. It says ha ketzat. Like when it says, how did it really work during the time of the destruction of the Mikdash? Bishiva nichnesu nochrim lahechal. On the 7th of Av, the nochrim, the non-Jews, entered the hechal. Ve'achlu ve'kilkelubo. And they ate and they destroyed. They started a destructive action. So on the 7th and the 8th, what they did was they were eating and they were being destructive. And on the 9th of Av, around the time where it was getting dark, they lit the fire. The Hayan, this is what we're familiar with, because we know that the Hanhagot, some of the Hanhagot, you know, some of the Avelut goes into the next day. Vayadolek veholech kol hayom kulo. The entire day of the 9th, it was going, Shineimar, it's a pasuk. And that's the description. So it means the 9th into the 10th, the Mikdash was still being destroyed. One second, what's the day on which we commemorate the destruction of the Mikdash? The 9th. Why not the 10th? The destruction actually happened on the 10th. Says the Gemara, V'hainu de'amar, after the Pasuk, Rabbi Yohanan, this is what Rabbi Yohanan said, Ilmale hayiti be'oto hador. One second. Rabbi Yohanan is the same rabbi who in our sugya said, Yishom mishum hitzav, right? The fire is a direct extension of you. That's why they point to this Gemara as a potential contradiction. Ilmale hayiti be'oto hador, says Rabbi Yohanan, a startling statement. Had I been alive during that generation, lo kiva'ativ ela ba'asiri, I would have established the day of mourning as the 10th. Because the majority of the Hechal was destroyed, was actually burnt on the 10th. The Rabbanan, the Hachamim, who we follow, Atalta de Puranutad Adifa, we go by the beginning of when the destruction or of the calamity transpired. But wait a second, it means according to Rabbi Yohanan, who is the rabbi who talks about fire being the extension of myself. What did he say in this Gemara? When did the Hechal, when did the Mikdash actually get destroyed? On the 10th. But well, I understand that. It's a nice way of saying it in terms of what caught our eyes. I looked at the Hechal, I said it was burnt on the 10th. But in terms of Halacha, when did the Hechal get burnt? When I look back at the moment when, so to speak, there was a liability, there was a nezik of ish in this situation, when was it? Mm-hmm. On the 9th. It was in the moment that it was lit. Now, if I argue like Tosafot in this sugya, I don't have a difficulty. Because if I argue like Tosafot, fire is like the arrow. Fire is like the arrow. The only time there's a full, so to speak, manat tevirat tavar, it's actually broken, is when the arrow touches it. But I don't say that before him. According to Nimukei Yosef, how do you learn this sugya? According to Rabbi Yohanan, the Hechal, why do you have a problem with this? Rabbi Yohanan, you should say, of course this is the way it works. It goes based on the 9th. You don't need to say it's the beginning of the calamity, of the bad things that transpired. It's the way it works. When was the Ma'aseh HaNezek of Ish beginning and ending for all intents and purposes? In the moment that it was lit. How come the sugya over here has Rabbi Yohanan saying that it really took place on the 10th? So that's one sugya. Again, it's a derasha, it's an agadah, it's not going to kill anyone, so to speak, but that seems to be a contradiction to Nimukei Yosef. There are several other significant gemarot. Let's turn back one page to the gemara in Ketubot and Daf Lamed Aleph. The gemara over here is in the beginning of Perek Elu Ne'arot, and the gemara is talking about the concept we're already familiar with, known as Kamle b'Drabamine. Kamle b'Drabamine is derived from Pesukim at the end of Parashat Mishpatim, which effectively means that if in the same moment that I am liable for death penalty, I'm also liable for financial restitution, I only pay with my life. I don't need to pay for the dry cleaning bill as well. A person puts a bullet through someone's heart and the family wants you ruin this $10,000 suit, he doesn't have to pay. He says, I'm getting put to death for killing, I'm getting headache anyway. That's kamle b'derabamine. So the Gemara over here is dealing with the following. If you take a look together with me, let's take a look in the narrow line still here. And one second. I don't want to do that. Okay. Says the Gemara, if you take a look. We could look at that one. Yeah, okay. So here, count from the top of the Amud 2, 4, 5 lands down. Says the Gemara, De Amar Bi Avin, Hazorek Hetz Mitahilat Arba, Lesof Arba. If a person shot an arrow on Shabbat in Rishut Rabim, public area, you're not allowed to carry more than 4 amot, 6 feet. That would say, by extension, if you throw something, you're not allowed to throw something in Rishut Rabim more than 4 amot. So I shot an arrow, mitahilat arba lesof arba, so from the beginning of 4 to the end of 4, which means to say I'm liable for sikila, I'm death penalty, I violated Shabbat. Vekara shirayim behalichato. And as the arrow was going, someone, for whatever reason, had hanging out in the public area, shirayim, they had a silk garment. And in shooting this, my arrow shoots through that silk garment, rips that silk garment, but at the same time, I'm going to be liable for death penalty. Now, in the very moment that I ripped it, I'm not yet liable, per se, am I? Well, not really. I'm only going to be liable once it lands, or once it goes to the 4 amot. Patur, what's the halacham? Patur. Why? She'akira Sorech hanahahi. That says the Gemara, the reason I'm patur is because akira sorech hanaha, which means to say that when I picked it up, so to speak, when I shot it in the air, it was going to land. So we kind of group those two actions together, and we imagine that in the initial stage of shooting it, it's, so to speak, already landed. It's going to land. It's not going to end up in the sky, hovering above forever. Rashi explains the reason you need this sevara. Why do you need this logic of akira tzorech hanaha? Three lines down in Rashi, on the right-hand side, says, Hilkach, afal gav dehiyuv mamon mikameh hanaha atyale. Even though the obligation, money, in terms of ripping the person's thing, came before it actually fell, patur. Exempt. Ho'ilu ben akira v'hanaha atyale mita v'tashlumi atyale. Since between akira and hanaha, I should be hayav. The Gemara says I'm patur from paying.
Because he's hayav for his life.
Because I will be hayav for my life. I'm not hayav for my life yet. Here's my four amot. The shiraim is in the middle. Now, in the moment where this arrow pierces this garment, I'm not liable yet. I'm only liable when it hits the four amot point. Nonetheless, the Gemara says we consider it as if I'm dead already. Why am I dead already? Because akira, in the moment where I shot it, we know it's going to land further than four amot. I'm hayav. That's what Rashi says. Why do you need that extra logic of akira sorech hanaha? Because you would have said that in the moment where I'm liable for money, I'm not yet dead. So says the Gemara, no. The fact that you lifted it and threw it into the air meant it was going to fall. You're dead from now. That's the Gemara. That's all I want for our purposes. Now let's go back to our Tosafot and Nimukei Yosef. According to Tosafot, where again, I distinguish with regards to shooting an arrow and setting in motion the damage of something by the item itself already, so to speak, being broken, I understand why the Gemara needs an additional logic over here. You say those words, akira sorech hanaha. You say the fact that it's going to fall, ultimately speaking, a fancy thing with regards to traveling, the fact that it got up in the air, it's going to fall down, it's going to end. That's why I needed that logic, because I don't wrap everything into the initial moment. That's what Tosafot told us. Tosafot said, with regards to shooting, I don't say in the initial moment the item was already broken. I only do that when I threw the item off the roof, right? But according to Nimukei Yosef, let's remember what he told us. What did Nimukei Yosef tell us? He told us, the beginning is the end. That was in the context of fire. It was in the context of Shabbat. I should be patur for sure. I don't need a svara of akira sorech hanaha. My hayuv mita is at the
beginning.
I'm hayav mita already. I don't need akira. The Gemara comes on to a new logic of akira sorech hanaha. Akira sorech hanaha. That's the, and if that's, and if the Gemara is speaking out, Nimukei Yosef's sevara, so Nimukei Yosef should have quoted this Gemara. He had an easy evidence for himself. It seems as if there's something else going on. One last, with regards to this matter, we have a few extra minutes because we're not putting on tefillin today. Gemara in Bava Kaman, Daf Ayin Amud Bet. Let's take a look quickly at this Gemara. So the Gemara, this is in Perek Merubah, or Perek Merubah, depending on how you see that. But the Gemara in the 7th chapter has the following. The Gemara is talking about Hiyuvim of Arba'a V'Hamisha. If you recall, the Torah tells us if a person steals something and they get caught with the item in their hand, they're liable, or forget about within their hand, they're liable for kefir. They need to pay two times. What if they stole it and then they sold it? They stole it and they slaughtered it. They pay four or five times that amount. That's called Arba'a V'Hamisha. What if, says the Mishnah, you stole and slaughtered on Shabbat? You stole and sold on Shabbat. What's the halakha? The Mishnah says Hayav. There's no distinction. The Gemara here, basically, right in the middle of the Amud, says, Ganav u'machar b'Shabbat v'chule. And then at the end of the line, there's those two dots. The very next line. It says, Gemara v'hatanya patur. Don't we have a beraita which says patur? So what's the halakha? Are you patur or are you hayav? Is it kam lebed rabba mine or not? The Mishnah says, hayav. As Jesse says, I understand. Kam lebed rabba mine. I'm for some reason going to be, have a liability on Shabbat. Am I? Is stealing a hayuv mita? Is selling a hayuv mita? Not no, so simply.
Selling on Shabbat is not
a hayuv mita. What's that? Who
it
said I carried it?
Shoot.
Who said I did so? So you're right. Okay. I mean, maybe I did it. You have to figure out the coordinates. Says the Gemara. If you skip down just four lines, five lines over here, it says Ela Amar Rav Papa. Be'omerlo. The case perhaps is, and right on point, Jesse, as usual, Zerok genebutech lahaseri. V'tiknili genebutech. And says the Gemara, the case is the following. I turn to you, you turn to me, whoever's stolen, whoever wants to buy, and I say, you know that item that you stole? Yeah, throw it over my into my fence, into my property. And so you're throwing it from one reshut into another reshut. We talked about tiltul b'reshut harabim, four amot in reshut harabim. There's also melechet hotza'ah. Melechet hotza'ah means I go from a public area into a private area. So the situation is I took the item which I stole and I throw it over the fence or I throw it into the property of another person. Says the Gemara, in such a circumstance, that's where I'd be patur, because in the very moment where Jesse's acquiring what I stole, I'm sorry to put you as my accomplice in crime over here, and in the very moment that he's buying, he's acquiring, he's taking control of and possession, I'm hayav mitah for melechet hotza'ah. Alright, that makes a lot of sense. Kamle b'derabamine, says the Gemara kiman. Whose opinion would this be following? Answers the Gemara, Kirbi Akiva. It'd be only according to Rabbi Akiva, De Amar Kiluta Kimishum Hadamya. De Kerabanan Kevan de Matiala Hatzir Beto Kana Le Anyan Shabbat Lo Mehayev Ad de Matiala Ar'a. Says the Gemara, this would be dependent upon, contingent upon, a dispute, a mahlok between Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim. Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim have a mahloket, without getting into the full details for the moment, about whether, when it comes to Shabbat, when is it considered as if it was rested? Does it actually need a rest on the ground? Or do we say the moment it's in the airspace, it's already, quote, as if it's on the ground? Rabbi Akiva's statement, Kiluta Kimishuhun Hadamya. In Israel, for Wi-Fi, they call it Kilita. There's Kilita. Kilita means it grabs. It absorbs it. There's something in the air, right? So Kiluta Kimishuhun Hadamya means, according to Rabbi Akiva, since I threw this from one domain into the next domain, even though it didn't hit the ground yet, it's already as if it's on the ground. That's called Kiluta Kimishun Hadamya. Says the Gemara, what you just told me, Rav Papa, I understand, only according to Rabbi Akiva, you said that I stole this item out here. I threw it over in the very same moment that you acquire it. When do you acquire it? Everybody agrees in airspace. No question. What about for Shabbat? Oh, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's that very same moment, even though it didn't hit the ground. Kiluta Kimishun Hadamya. According to Hachamim, according to the Hachamim, you acquire it up here, I'm liable for that, and I'll only hayav mitah the moment it hits the ground. That's what the Gemara says. It's dependent upon mahloket bi'akivan Hachamim. I have a very simple question.
It's going to hit the ground anyways.
It's going to hit the ground anyway. It's like an arrow which was shot. According to Tosafot, I might understand this. This is the arrow which is shot, and I distinguish. According to Nimukei Yosef, how do you explain this Gemara? Why is it dependent upon Rabbi Akiva and Hachamim? Even according to Hachamim, where it's only when it hits the ground that I'm Hayav Linyan Shabbat. Well, not really. But Nimukei Yosef didn't say it's different Linyan Shabbat. Nimukei Yosef was talking about Hadlakat Nerot on Shabbat. You lit the candle before Shabbat. Clearly not distinguishing. Nimukei Yosef was saying that all these things, which means that, which means to say that according to Nimukei Yosef, we have to contend with, and again, you might be able to, in each one of these, if you're clever, say this one's a little different because of this. Question is if there's a simple principle that will guide us through these and one or two other questions that the Aharonim address with regards to Nimukei Yosef. But again, to very briefly summarize, we saw a mahloka between briefly stated Tosafot and Nimukei Yosef with regards to when do we say that the action, so to speak, is done before physically it's actually done. When do I put on my halakha lenses and say, oh, that was already done. It was done in the very initial moment. According to Tosafot, only if, I'm going to use Judah's better words on this, only if the item was spiraling, only if the item itself was about to self-destruct, as opposed to I was sending something for it to self-destruct. So if I shot an arrow significantly for us, it's not already broken. It's only broken when it's broken. Nafka mina, very simply, is if someone else comes and smashes it, they're liable, says Tosafot. Nimukei Yosef told us le'inyan Shabbat, but he was equating it with le'inyan Nizikin, that the halakha is if I lit that candle before Shabbat, the candle's done. The candle is mishum hitzav. Fire is like my arrow. That's what he's basing himself on. It means that I don't distinguish between the item or the arrow. Torah. It's all done in the initial stage. Well, if that's the case, Rabbi Yochanan himself who says, Yishom Yishum Chitzav, how come he considers the Beit HaMikdash only destroyed on the 10th? He should consider it destroyed on the 9th. Gemara in Ta'anit and Daf Kavtet. Furthermore, how come in the Gemara in Masechet Ketubot and Daf Lamed Aleph, we had to have this fancy concept known as Akira Sorech Hanaha, where the person threw the item over the fence into someone else's land. It's as if it's on the ground already. You don't need a special language over there. That's what Nimukei Yosef told us. Nimukei Yosef said that with regards to setting into motion, when the item itself has not been effectuated, it's already done before it's already done in the physical sense. Why do you need that language over there? And why do you need it only according to Rabbi Akiva le'inyan Shabbat in the Gemara Bava Kaman Daf Ayin Amud Bet that we say kiluta kimishon hadami? According to Rabbi Akiva, it's as if it's on the ground. Well, maybe not. Even according to the Chachamim, according to Nimukei Yosef's claim, the action was done. If the action was done, I should be hayav mita. In the very same moment that the kinyan took place, I should say kamle b'derabamine. Those are the three or four questions I'd like to address tomorrow with one principle, and we'll see where we can go with this in further fine-tuning and understanding the statement of Nimukei Yosef and perhaps applying it to halacha as well in one or two circumstances. Baruch Adonai le'olam. Amen. Amen.